Welcome to NHL Draft Class. Adam Kimmelman here, Mike Morial in his favorite coffee house, I'm sure. How are things, Mike?
Yeah, we're doing good, Adam. The coffee is flowing here as, you know, week by week we get closer to the draft. It's exciting. And today, it's a great show. The theme today is the Ontario Hockey League, and it's a show I've been looking forward to because the one common theme when looking at all the stats from the OHL this season is that there are zeros beside the players, and that's because the OHL canceled its season on April 20. So we're going to have Joey Tanut from NHL Central Scouting join us in a bit to talk about those OHL players on Central Scouting's final ranking. Several who went to play overseas, right, Adam? And that's one thing that I think Joey Tanut has a good understanding of. It's playing overseas, having success. He was drafted by the Devils in 03, signed with the Capitals. 2 years later, he played in Finland, Sweden, Norway, Austria, and Germany. So Joey understands that playing overseas isn't easy, and I imagine it even provides a glimpse into the true character of those players that were able to play overseas and in that environment. So it'll be interesting to see what Joey has to say about a lot of those players, including, you know, Brant Clark, a defenseman who I'm really curious to see where he drops in this draft, because there are several good defensemen here in this draft.
Yeah, Joey, you know, how do you scout a season when your league doesn't play its season? So it's going to be really interesting. You know, before we get to Joey, you know, the draft's coming up. We're a month away as we record this on June 23rd. So now's the time to start cramming for your final exam on the draft. And NHL draft class really is the best place to do it. You know, last time we had John Williams on from Central Scouting talking about, the best players in the Western Hockey League. You know, we've also had Greg Rajanin on to talk about from the United States Hockey League and the NCAAs. We've talked about the best players from Europe with Goran Stube from European Scouting. We've also talked to a lot of the top prospects in this year's draft, from Owen Power to Brant Clark, as you mentioned, Mike, Matthew Coronado from the Chicago Steel. So, you know, any content you need on the draft, you can find on NHL Draft Class. I highly encourage you, as part of your preparation for the draft, go back and check out some of the old NHL Draft Class episodes.
Yeah, absolutely. And we had Dan Moore, too, the director of NHL Central Scouting, on a couple weeks ago. And that was right after the list had come out, right, Adam? And after the draft lottery. So that was an exciting show to find out why the players went here, there, where they were placed, why they were placed. So, indeed, go back, listen to previous episodes. They're all evergreen. You can always get new information, great information. So we highly recommend it.
And we're going to highly recommend this show with Joey Tanut from Central Scouting, who's going to join us to talk about the best prospects from the Ontario Hockey League. Joey, thank you for joining us on NHL Draft Class. How are things going?
Things are good. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So Joey, can you describe the challenges you had to overcome in evaluating the 21 draft eligible players, you know, in a league that was shut down due to COVID? Did you need to refer to a lot of video from 2019-20?
Yeah, you know, it was a pretty interesting year this year for, I think, the whole scouting community. You know, I think that everyone was kind of in the same boat, which, you know, I think everyone can attest that, you know, seeing kids live is, you know, gives you a much better read and, you know, allows you to assess the players a lot more accurately. But, you know, this year it was kind of, you know, to start with, we had a base from last year. We saw most of these guys play as underagers. We had a good base. We had reports in on them. We start filing our futures report the previous season. So a lot of these guys, luckily enough, we saw live. And then, you know, a lot of guys didn't play, which was unfortunate. So there was a lot of digging. There was a lot of going back and watching their video from last year and going over, you know, just going over the video that was out there, just using the information that we could, and, you know, really giving these guys that didn't play in the Ontario Hockey League a fair shot and try to give them a fair assessment, try to project, you know, what we thought they would have done this year and kind of the role they would have played for their club teams. So just, you know, putting them on the final list and kind of slotting guys that we didn't see play in an area where we think they, you know, deserve to be, based on what we would have projected. And then on the flip side, there was guys that, you know, did play, You know, some went overseas and did what they had to do to get seen. And so, you know, you can't totally give a full judgment based on them playing overseas. You know, going over there is, you know, it's tough to go over there and really, you know, adapt very quickly. You know, they're used to playing North American hockey and playing over here with their teammates on their club team. So, you know, it was a little tough to, you know, fully assess that as well. And then to see some of the guys at the under 18s kind of gave a little more clarity, which was good. So it was a challenging year, but everyone was in the same boat. So I think that, you know, everyone worked hard and, you know, we did our best to give these kids a fair shake.
So Joey, let's look at the North American list, and Mason McTavish from Peterborough, maybe a little bit of a surprise for some people at number two in the final ranking. You know, you go back to 1920, he had a really nice rookie season. Then this season, 9 goals in 13 games in the second division in Switzerland, you know, really nice world under 18s. We talked to Dan Marr on NHL Draft Class, and he said when he watched McTavish, he saw a player who in the men's league was able to control the pace of the game and then carried that confidence into the under 18s. I'm curious, when you watched McTavish, is that along the lines of what you saw? And how impressive is it for a guy 17, 18 years old to have that kind of output against, you know, older, more developed professional players already?
Yeah, I think, you know, Mason McTavish is a very impressive player. I think that he popped really quickly in his underage year with Peterborough, and, you know, he had an outstanding underage season there, put up a ton of goals, and, you know, really gave us a small taste of, you know, what he can really do. Then he goes overseas and, you know, he really showed that he can, you know, do a lot more than, you know, he used an expanded role over there. He showed that he can play a lot more of an in-depth game. He showed, you know, physicality, you know, upgrades from his underage season, strong skating, you know, continued his goal scoring play. And, you know, this guy can score in many different ways. So it was pretty impressive to see him go over there, you know, against that level of competition and older players. And, you know, going over to Europe is tough as it is for a player, you know, at any age. So for him to adapt quickly and really find a leading role on that team was impressive. And then I think what, you know, really impressed me the most is that, you know, coming to the under 18s and seeing him against his own age group, his own draft class, and, you know, really just kind of driving the bus there for Canada, and just kind of showing the different elements of his game that he brings, the physical play, you know, kind of the mix of skill, and power, you know, scores in multiple ways, sniping ability, you know, goes to the net, does the dirty work, you know, just an elite player, total package type of guy, you know, that I can really see an NHL team building their franchise around. So, you know, it was pretty tight. There's a lot of high-end talent, you know, at the top of our list, but, you know, when it comes down to it, I think that Mason is going to be a heart and soul type guy at the NHL level. You know, and a guy that is really at the forefront when the game's on the line. And, you know, I could see him, you know, really being a leader for a franchise for years to come.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Joey. You know, one of the things I think is probably underrated, or maybe he doesn't get enough attention with McTavish, is his faceoff ability. He took the second most faceoffs at the U18s. I think it was a little over 90 from what I remember. I know he finished sixth in faceoff winning percentage. So, I mean, that's an area of his game too, that he also excels, that, I don't know, maybe people don't talk about it enough, but I mean, that's a big time stat right there for him. But I wanted to switch gears here to defense. A right-handed D, Brant Clark, he's number 7 in the rankings, was able to play 26 games in Slovakia earlier this season, shake off some of the rust there. And then he represented Canada at the U18s, 2 goals, 7 points in 7 games. What skills does Brandt possess that make you believe he'll be a top pairing defenseman in the NHL one day?
Yeah, well, you know, Brandt is he's a very elite offensive defenseman. He's one of those guys that doesn't come along every year. He's got elite hockey IQ. His vision on the ice is off the charts. He's a playmaking, also a goal scoring threat from the back end. You know, the way that he can just step in off the blue line, and you know, he's got a release on his shot that, you know, can really catch goalies off guard. And so he's got that goal scoring ability from the back end as well. And what really impresses me about Brandt is just the fact that he has a lot of dare in his game. You know, he dares to do stuff that most guys won't do in terms of, you know, some of the highly skilled plays that he can pull off as well. So I think that, you know, if you're looking at a guy that, you know, offense is obviously his bread and butter, but you know, he shows up defensively. He battles. He's willing to get involved physically. So I think that in the future, you know, you're going to see a well-rounded two-way D-man. But you know, really, I think any team that drafts him is looking at, you know, their future power play quarterback that can provide, you know, that modern day offense, push the pace style from the back end. So, you know, he's an elite offensive weapon from the back end. And like I said, they don't come along, you know, too often. So he'll be a great pick for any team that selects him.
Joey, I want to ask you about Brendan Othman from Flint. He's number 8 on the final ranking. He was someone that, you know, when I was able to watch him on video, his speed really stands out. He's not afraid to play nasty, you know, get physical, get deep on the forecheck. You know, I got a little bit of a Tyler Seguin sort of vibe from him. What stood out to you about Brendan when you were able to watch him, either when he was playing in Switzerland or at the World Under 18s?
Well, the first thing that stuck out with me with Brendan this year is that as soon as I saw him play in Switzerland, you saw right away speed upgrades. He looked a lot physically bigger and stronger. And he just came out of the gates and he just kind of was on a bit of a mission this year in terms of what you said with his feisty play. And He's a highly skilled player. You know, first and foremost, he's got a great shot, great release. You saw that in the U18s when he tucked that one under the bar coming in there, big goal for him, which shows his goal scoring ability. And you know, he's got playmaking ability. He can play with top players. Him and Shane Wright showed great chemistry. So he can play with the elite players. And at the same time, you know, he's a guy that he can get other teams off their game. He's finishes checks hard. He kind of plays on the edge sometimes, which I think is when he's at his best, and you know, really can kind of turn teams off their game and give his team, you know, some boost at the same time. So, you know, just the way that he can affect the game in so many different areas. You know, and I still think that he's going to get bigger and he's going to get stronger. So, you know, the base that he has and the sample size that we saw, this season that he showed us, and especially in the U18s too, where, you know, he played a really key role and really showed that, well-rounded, you know, that I explained that the offense, the, you know, they get under the opponent's skin, they just kind of do whatever it takes to win approach that he's shown, you know, makes me think, you know, he could be one of those guys that, you know, he's going to be a real thorn in team sides, you know, within the division, within the conference for a lot of years for whichever team drafts him. So, you know, I think that he just moved up and up, you know, at least my list and our group's list, you know, the whole season. So he's a guy that I think, you know, whatever team takes him, they're getting a real gamer and a guy that, you know, is I project to be a, you know, a big time guy in the NHL. So he grew on me all year. And I think that he's, you know, he's a really good prospect.
Yeah, I think it's worth noting, too, that Othman joined McTavish on Olten in Switzerland. I know he had 16 points there in 34 games. Probably maybe didn't have the same impact that McTavish did, but I thought he played well nonetheless before joining Canada at the U18. So that was another feather in his cap for Othman. So there are two centermen here, Joey, on Central's list. Left-hander Francesco Pennelli. He's number 15 of Kitchener, and right-hander Wyatt Johnston, number 16 on the list of Windsor. Each kind of similar in stature. Pennelli, I think, really opened some eyes with his play in Slovenia this season. 5 goals, 11 points, 13 games. Chipped in with 11 points in 7 games for Canada at the U18s. Johnston's only action this season came at the U18. So I'd imagine he was a little bit harder to gauge, maybe. How do they differ from each other, and maybe who holds the edge in your eyes?
Well, I think they're very similar players. I think, you know, it's impossible to really differentiate who I would, you know, who's ahead of who. I think it's kind of more of a 1A, 1B type thing. I think they're both, you know, exceptional prospects, great skaters, really solid two-way game from both of them. They kind of do everything really well, mix of skill and a mix of responsible two-way play. Both can play in any situation. And, you know, I just think that Wyatt, you know, it would have been nice to see him play a full season in Windsor and, you know, but that wasn't the case. And I think that he showed very well at the U18 tournament. He took on a big role as, you know, a kind of a guy that will do anything for the team. And that, you know, speaks volumes to what kind of prospect you'll be getting, you know, plays in can play in every situation. I project him as a power play guy at the next level, as well as a PK guy, kind of a, you know, a jack of all trades that really is going to be a valuable piece for a franchise in the future. And Pennelli, you know, again, he's a guy that can play at both ends of the ice. He can play, you know, if there's a physical game, he's involved, you know, skilled game. He's at the forefront and, you know, he shows good habits away from the puck as well. So, you know, it's tough to differentiate between the two. I think that we have them, you know, in a similar area, obviously, on the list. And, you know, the style of play that they both bring to the table is going to be a very rewarding for any franchise that picks them up.
Yeah, good stuff there, Joey. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here in a season where there wasn't a season in the OHL. I mean, can you maybe give us one or two OHL players you feel could be diamonds in the rough in the later rounds?
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of them. And I think that every OHL player that is on the list is deserving of being on the list. And, you know, I feel for these guys that didn't get a chance to play. And, you know, so it's, I'd like to vouch for all of them. It's, you know, it's an unfortunate circumstance. And, you know, I just think that, you know, if the kids are listening out there, you know, if they don't get drafted, it's, you know, it's nothing to, you know, be upset about. I think that next year, you know, if the OHL gets going again, which I hope it does, it's going to be a kind of a double, you know, scouted season. I think that the guys that didn't play this year that, you know, are obviously on the radar are still going to be heavily scouted and, you know, could get drafted next year. And I think it all comes down to just who's been putting in the work in the off season here. And I think that if guys have put in the work and, you know, really used this time as a positive to gain strength and work on their skill, get faster and come out of the gates hard next season, you know, they're going to pop and, you know, eventually, you know, the best players, they make it to the NHL. So, you know, I hope that all the guys really use this time to put in the work and come out hard next season. I guess to answer your question, I think there is a group of D that didn't play this year that I think really show, you know, a good kind of raw development curve. You know, I think Holmes, Roger, Mast, Gurriev, these guys are guys that, you know, good mobile defensemen, size, kind of modern day, you know, defensemen that can kind of, you know, you can kind of see that there's a lot of development to work with these guys. So those are four that I think, you know, could be good picks that weren't seen this year, that didn't play. But I think that projecting them, you know, they would be kind of good sleeper picks that could potentially, you know, have a good career at the next level.
I gotta say, a season without a season, Mike, that's pretty poetic. But let's look ahead to next season before we sign off, Joe. My last one, it's about Shane Wright. You know, we all saw what he did at the under-18s. You know, he had a dominant season in 1920 as a 16-year-old with Kingston. And then you look back at some of the other 16-year-olds who excelled in the OHL, guys like Connor McDavid and John Tavares, and, you know, you kind of see what they've done now that they're NHL veterans. I'm curious, when you watch Shane Wright, what does his NHL future look like? And in your mind, is he already at the head of the class for the 22 draft?
Well, Shane is a special player. He's, you know, it's no secret that, you know, Shane has all the accolades that he has to this point. And, you know, he's obviously been on the hockey radar and has had scouts, you know, looking forward to this draft for a long time. So, you know, I think that, you know, he's at the head of the class right now. And, you know, he carries himself so well. You know, he plays the game the right way. He's you know, led Team Canada to the U18 title you know, an underage player there. So, you know, it's very impressive the total package that Shane has. And, you know, his ability on ice, you know, his skill level, his hockey IQ, you know, the way that he makes his teammates better, you know, it checks off all the boxes. And you know, I think he's a guy that is, you know, along that path of the guys you mentioned earlier in terms of, you know, he's a generational talent, and, you know, he's a guy that, you know, whichever NHL franchise, you know, is lucky enough to select Shane, he's a guy that you build your future around. And, you know, he's going to be an exciting player. He's going to be the type of guy that, you know, every kid wants to buy his jersey. And, you know, I see him being a real, you know, headliner for the NHL in the years to come. So it'll be exciting to see him play and to put in reports on him this season.
Yeah, no doubt, Joey. You know, the fact that he was captain for the U18 club as well for Canada says a lot about his character and what he's able to bring to any team he plays for. So that'll be interesting to see what happens in 2022. But Joey, thanks for joining us today on NHL Draft Class and providing the great insight into, you know, these players from the Ontario Hockey League and what had to be a real tough season to evaluate talent. So congratulations there. Enjoy the draft and enjoy the summer.
I really appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much. And you guys enjoy as well.
Thanks again to Joey Tenute from NHL Central Scouting to join us. Great stuff on some of the Ontario Hockey League prospects. And, you know, as you said, Mike, a season where there was no season, but, you know, he was able to watch as many of these guys as he could from last season's video, from the guys who were able to play in Europe this season. You know, it wasn't easy. It couldn't have been easy for him, but, you know, you look at the list and it's always highly populated by Ontario Hockey League players just because, you know, so much skill in that league and so much skill in the grassroots and development. But, you know, it was no different this year. Even though they didn't play in the OHL, there are still some top end talent coming out of that league.
So see, Adam, you do like that line, a season without a season, right?
It,
you do
it
like
was it.
I know it. I know.
I wish your writing was as good as that.
Oh, don't even get me started there. But hey, back to the OHL. I mean, look, over the 60. Yeah, I'm going to skip right by that.
Yeah.
There were over 60 OHL players on Central Scouting's rankings at the, you know, the end of the season. So that says a lot. Even though the season, you know, was canceled, they watched what these players were able to do previous season. And of course, a lot of them did play overseas. So that was an advantage to them. The one player though, Adam, that I'm really curious to, you know, see where he falls in this draft. You hear so much hype about him and rightfully so is Brant Clark, the defenseman from Barrie. So like I did some digging and Clark scored 35 goals and 113 points in 73 games for the Don Mills Flyers, the U16 AAA team. Quinn Hughes, same age, had 13 goals and 44 points in 74 U16 games. That was with the Toronto Marlboros. And Jamie Drysdale had 8 goals, 50 points in 57 games for Toronto, the AAA team. So I point this out because at the same age, Clark was even more of an offensive machine than Hughes and Drysdale. And we know the impact they are and will have in the NHL. So Clark certainly has the look of a bona fide offensive defenseman, a solid puck transporter, you know, entering this draft class and will likely go top 10. We expect him to go top 10. So I've seen comparisons to John Klingberg. He was named to the media all-star team at the U18s. So to me, Clark is that guy. And I know you had him going relatively high, right, Adam, in our mock drafts. I had him going in the top 10, but I don't think as high as you had him going. So it's going to be interesting to see where he fits into this, because I had Luke Hughes high, Simon Edvinson from Sweden, I had relatively high, but Brant Clark is a player I think everyone gravitates towards because of his offensive numbers as a defenseman.
I think between Clark, Hughes and Edvinson, it's going to be, you know, you can pull any name out of the hat and you're going to end up with an elite NHL defenseman. You know, Owen Power is going to go number one. I think we can both safely say that, but whoever that second, third and fourth defenseman is, if it's assuming it's going to be one of those three guys, there's no lose there. And, you know, we talked about it and look, what stands out to me is Clark went over to Slovakia as a 17, 18 year old. And he was able to be productive against professionals, and that on big ice, that says a lot about his potential. And I think it's a huge asset for a guy like that, who's already shown NHL scouts now what he can do against older, more physically developed professional players. So I don't know what NHL clubs are thinking, but I'm sure, yeah, as you said, he's going to go top 10 somewhere, maybe top 5.
Yep, but no doubt.
There is one other defenseman I want to ask you about, and we mentioned it before, Owen Power. Let me ask you this. There was a report, you know, Owen was on NHL Network, and he said he's considering going back to school for a second season at Michigan. And the internet, as the internet does, reacted in the way that the internet generally reacts with overreaction. So let me ask you, Mike, what's the downside if Owen Power does decide to go back to Michigan for another season? Is there a downside?
Yeah, I don't know if there is a downside, to be honest with you.
I don't think there is either.
No, I spoke to Mel Pearson about this, and Mel told me that he'd support Owen either way.
Well, I'm sure he would love to have him for another season.
But that he can make the case for him to come back. And Mel pointed out to the fact that several current former NHL defensemen who spent two seasons playing college hockey before beginning their NHL careers had quite the NHL career. Mike Komisarek was at Michigan from 2000 to 02. Jack Johnson was at Michigan from 05 to 07. Zach Werenski, 2014 to 2016. Quinn Hughes. The list goes on and on, Adam. Cale Makar was at the University of Massachusetts for two seasons. So, yes, all those players went high in the draft. None of them went number one overall. But in this case, I think you can make a case that if Owen Power were to stay in college one more season, it would benefit him because he still has a lot more to learn from what Mel was telling me. You know, he can still improve his game. He could be a leader for that team. And also, Adam, I think the one thing that keeps going in my head is the fact that they still have unfinished business there at the University of Michigan, right? They didn't get to play in the NCAA tournament. So maybe, you know, he goes back and he dominates not only the regular season, but can dominate in the tournament and perhaps be a nominee or a finalist for the Hobey Baker later in the season.
Yeah, I think you hit that on the head. You know, you go to college to play hockey. You want the college hockey experience. And he sort of spoke to that in his interview on NHL Network, that he didn't get to play in front of a sold out crowd at Yost Arena. He didn't get to play in the NCAA tournament. So, you know, there's some fun aspects of college that he missed out on. But from a hockey development standpoint, I think there's zero downside. Is he ready for the NHL? I mean, if you watch him at the World Championship, ice time to me speaks volumes. He played 10 and a half minutes in a one goal game in the championship of the gold medal game, in the championship game of the World Championship. Yeah, I think his coach certainly thinks he's ready. Gerard Gallant, now the New York Rangers, certainly thinks he's ready. But, you know, can he step into an NHL lineup? Can he be a top four defenseman? Probably. Can he do it after one more year of college? Without a doubt. Because here's what he's going to get to do. He's going to get to practice. He's going to get time in the gym. He's going to get bigger. He's going to get stronger. And as you said, you know, he's going to iron out whatever deficiencies are in his game. He's going to be able to work them out one more year at Michigan. And look, he's going to have NHL caliber talent around him. You look at the roster that Michigan has and what they're going to get. I mean, geez, Luke Hughes is going there next year, correct? How about Owen Power and Luke Hughes as your number one defense pair at the University of Michigan next season? How much fun would that be?
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's another reason why, and I was thinking about it as you were talking, you know, to have Luke Hughes come in and for that to be your top pair, you know, obviously, Owen plays that left side, and Luke proved this year at the NTDP that he can play right or left. He's a left-handed shot, but played most of the season on the right side. So that would be, hey, not only for Michigan, but I want to see that, Adam. I'm being selfish here. I want to see it.
For
Owen
sure.
Power, go back to sure. college, will you, for crying out loud. We want to see that pair.
As someone who gets the Big Ten Network, yes. But look, you know, and some of the reactions were – you know, priceless amongst, you know, hockey fans, especially Buffalo Sabres fans. But look, if he comes out and he signs with the Sabres and he's in the lineup opening night, he can do it and he can be an impact player. If he goes back to school and he comes out after Michigan season or next season, he's going to be an even bigger impact player. That's just my belief.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I think one more year of college would do him well. I think it'll do the Buffalo Sabres well. We all anticipate Buffalo selecting him. You never know. But if Buffalo does select him, I think they'll sit tight and they'll wait another season to see what Owen can do in college and then perhaps sign him at the end of the season. And maybe if Buffalo's in some sort of playoff hunt or late in the season, if they want to see some of their prospects get some, you know, get some experience, that's also an option as well. So, but I do believe one more season at Michigan would bode well for Owen Power indeed.
Well, you won't have to wait one more season for us to have the next edition of NHL Draft Class. We're going to be back very soon with a look at more prospects like we did today with Joey Tenute in the Ontario Hockey League. You've had previous shows if you want to go back and listen to them. Greg Rajanin from Central Scouting covered the United States Hockey League and NCAA hockey. We've had the top scouts from Central Scouting talk about the best players in Europe, the best players from the Western Hockey League. You know, we've had some of the top prospects on. You go back and listen to Owen Power talk about his season in his own words when he was on the show with us. Brant Clark also. So no time to waste. Go back and listen to older episodes of the NHL Draft Class to get all your information about the 2021 NHL Draft.
we should be having our mock drafts coming out maybe next month at some point in July, right, Adam? So that'll be exciting. We enjoy doing that. The fans, they always look forward to that. So be on the lookout for that. And we're going to have a lot of content on NHL.com beginning perhaps next week, Adam. Stories coming in every day on draft-eligible prospects, features, list stories, who's better, this player or that player. So a lot to look forward to, not only on NHL Draft Class, but NHL.com as well.
Absolutely. But as of right now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.